You are now listening to Mark's Unexplained World by Mark the Medium from Hinckley Community Radio, a non-profit podcast radio station. Tonight's episode is about the disappearance of the Amber Room. So it's over to you now, Mark.
Amber Room was a chamber constructed during the 18th century in Prussia and then located in the Catherine Palace of Tsarskoye Selo near St. Petersburg. It was so named because it was decorated in amber panels and backed with gold leaf and mirrors. It was originally intended, back in 1701, for the Charlottenburg Palace in Berlin, Prussia, but due to various reasons, it was eventually installed in the Berlin City Palace. It was designed by the German Baroque sculptor Andreas Schluter and Danish amber craftsman Gottfried Wolfram. Both Schluter and Wolfram worked on the room until 1707, and then the work was reassigned and continued by amber masters Gottfried Toru and Ernst Stach from Danzig. However, during World War II, the room was dismantled for protection, and then it eventually vanished. Before it disappeared, it was considered as an eighth wonder of the world. Reports have occasionally surfaced stating that pieces of the Amber Room have been spotted and that the room itself did actually survive the war. Greetings, Unexplainers. Thank you for tuning in again and listening to another episode of Mark's Unexplained World. My name is Mark Hughes. I'm a psychic medium, a ufologist, and the guy who loves a good mystery. And as to why I love a good mystery, is a mystery in itself. In this episode, I'm going to tell you about the unexplained story relating to the disappearance of the Amber Room. And this week's necessary disclaimer... Actually, this story is, this is a tale that's pretty family friendly, so no worries, all is good. However, as usual, I still say you listen at your own discretion and that all opinions and comments are strictly my own, but all the facts still remain. And I also apologise if I pronounce anything incorrectly, as my English is spurred on by a strange lingo called "How the heck do you pronounce that word?" followed by another strange lingo called "What the heck, I'll wing it and hope no one notices." Anyway, enough of this tomfoolery. Let's get back to the story at hand. The first question is, what exactly is the Amber Room? Well, the Amber Room was a priceless piece of art which had jaw-dropping architectural features such as gilding, carvings, gold leaf, gemstones, mirrors, and at least 450 kilograms of amber panels. Also included were various architectural features such as statues of angels and children, and all this was highlighted by candlelight. Because of its unique features and singular beauty, it was sometimes called the eighth wonder of the world. Modern estimates of the value of the Amber Room range from $142 million back in 2007 to over $500 million in 2016. The Amber Room's construction began in 1701 with the purpose of it being installed at the residence of Frederick I, who was the first king in Prussia, at the Charlottenburg Palace. It was built at the request of his second wife, Sophia Charlotte. The concept and design of the room was drafted by the German Baroque sculptor and architect Andreas Schluter, and was fabricated by master craftsmen to the Danish court of King Frederick IV of Denmark, Gottfried Wolfram, along with the help from the amber masters Ernest Schlatt, I think I've got that right, and Gottfried Taru from Danzig, which is now commonly known as Dansk in Poland. Although the amber room was originally intended for installation at the residence of Frederick I at Charlottenburg Palace, the completed amber panels were eventually installed at Berlin City Palace. However, the amber room didn't remain at Berlin City Palace for very long. One of its first admirers was Peter the Great of Russia. This admiration was noticed by King Frederick's first son, Frederick William I. So, in 1716, Frederick William decided to give the amber room to Peter the Great of Russia as a gift, which at the same time forged a Russo-Prussian alliance against Sweden. So, the amber room was then reworked in Russia in a joint effort by German and Russian craftsmen. It was the daughter of Peter the Great of Russia, the Empress Elizabeth, who decided that the amber room should be reinstalled at Catherine Palace, located in the Rococo Palace in Sarkoe Selo, or what is now known as the town of Pushkin in Russia, where the Russian imperial family spent a good deal of their summers. On a quick interesting side note, a Rococo palace, also known as late Baroque, is an exceptionally ornamental and dramatic style of architecture, art and decoration, which combines asymmetry, scrolling curves, gilding, white and pastel colours and sculpted moulding to create surprise and the illusion of motion and drama. It is often described as the final expression of the Baroque movement. So, what with all the 18th century renovations, taking up the area of 55 square metres and containing over 6 tonnes of material, the Amber Room took just over 10 years to completely construct. Moving forward quite a few years to the German invasion of the Soviet Union in World War II. Shortly after the beginning of this invasion, the curators who were responsible for removing the art treasures in Leningrad took one look at the Amber Room and, after some serious head-scratching, tried to deassemble the room and remove it from Catherine's palace. But unfortunately, there was a rather big problem. You see, over the years, the amber itself had dried out and had become very brittle. This, of course, as you can imagine, made it near impossible to move the room without the amber crumbling. I suppose this is probably a good time to answer the question as to what exactly is amber. Well, amber can be best defined as the fossilized resins of an extinct tree trunk. Trees usually release a form of resin for making their trunks susceptible to the attacks of parasites and insects. These resins also heal every other internal damage, keeping the tree healthy and safe. Over time, the resin evolves as an organic fossil, which we now call amber. One of the oldest forms of amber is Baltic amber and dates back more than 40 million years. The amber that is found today usually dates back more than 30 to 90 million years. So, I don't know about you, but I think that is one heck of a sell-by date. So, because of this crumbling amber, the walls of the room were therefore covered in a mundane wallpaper, probably brown with a dash of heliotrope. But of course, I'm jesting. I don't know what they papered it in, honest. This mundane wallpaper was an attempt to keep the German forces from seizing it. However, this attempt to hide such a well-known place had failed miserably, because once the German soldiers discovered it, they, under the supervision of two experts, disassembled the amber room within 36 hours. So, on the 14th of October 1941, the priceless amber room had reached Königsberg, which is now known as Kaliningrad, in East Prussia, for storage and display in the town's castle. And on the 13th of November that same year, a Königsberg newspaper announced an exhibition of the amber room at Königsberg Castle. After this first short break, in part two, we will look at the amber room's last days in Königsberg and its strange disappearance.
This show is brought to you courtesy of Neil Packer and the Haunted Antiques Paranormal Research Centre. Find them online at www.hauntedresearchcentre.com or at 9211 Regent Street, Hinckley, LE10 1AW. Open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for guided tours of the haunted rooms at just £3 per person. Booking is essential at all times, and over 16s only, please, unless accompanied by an adult. The haunted rooms are extremely haunted, and paranormal activity could, and has, taken place at any time. Some areas and particular objects or items can be quite scary and unnerving. Membership is available for £25 to qualify for selective offers. And why not download the app available on both iOS and Android for only £3.99 to keep up to date with what is coming up at the centre.
On the 21st and 24th of January 1945, Adolf Hitler ordered the movement of all looted possessions from Königsberg. This allowed the German architect and Minister of Armaments, Albert Speer, and his administration team to transport all cultural goods as a priority. However, before anyone started moving the amber room, the civil administrator in Königsberg, Erich Koch, abandoned his post and fled from the city, leaving the German general, Otto Lasch, in command. In the August of 1944, Konigsberg was heavily firebombed by the Royal Air Force and suffered further extensive damage from the artillery of the advancing Red Army before Konigsberg's final occupation on the 9th of April 1945. After the Second World War, the Amber Room was never seen again in public. However, there are various reports that have occasionally popped up stating that pieces of the Amber Room did in fact survive the war. For starters, there were several eyewitnesses who claimed to have spotted the famous Amber Room being loaded on board a ship named the Wilhelm Gustloff, which left Dinja on the 30th of January 1945. It was then promptly torpedoed by a Soviet submarine in the Baltic Sea and so was lost at sea. On a quick interesting side note, the Wilhelm Gustloff was a German military transport ship. When the ship was bombed on the 30th of January 1945 in the Baltic Sea, it was evacuating not only civilians, but German military personnel and other military personnel, making it, by one estimate, of 9,400 people being killed, the largest loss of life in a single ship sinking in history. In 1968, despite large protests worldwide, Soviet General Secretary Leonid Brezhnev ordered the destruction of Konigsberg Castle. This, of course, made it impossible for any on-site research of the last known resting place of the Amber Room. So, the search for the Amber Room continued in various other different locations. Fast forward a few more years to 1997, and in Germany, an Italian stone mosaic called Feel and Touch turns out to be one part of a set of four stones which had originally decorated the Amber Room. This Italian stone mosaic was found in the possession of the family of a soldier who claimed to have helped pack up the original Amber Chamber back in 1941. The mosaic was then returned back into the hands of the Russian authorities and was used in its reconstruction. I will go into more details on the reconstruction of the Amber Room in part 3 of this podcast. A year later, in 1998, two separate teams, one German and one Lithuanian, announced that they had at last located the Amber Room. Hurrah! The German team felt sure that it was in a silver mine, while the Lithuanian team felt sure that the amber treasure was buried in a lagoon. However, unfortunately, neither of the two teams were right, as both of the locations turned out to be empty, with neither of them holding the elusive amber treasure. A few years later still, in 2004, a long and thorough investigation by the British investigative journalists Catherine Scott Clark and Adrian Levy concluded that the Amber Room was most likely destroyed when Konigsberg Castle was damaged, first in 1944 during the Royal Air Force bombing of Konigsberg, and then by the Soviets' burning of the castle, followed by the shelling of the remaining of its walls. Official assessments set out in documents from the Russian National Archives written by the head of the Soviet team charged with locating the Amber Room following the war, Alexander Brusov, agreed with this theory. The official report stated, and I quote, Summarising all the facts, we can say that the Amber Room was destroyed between 9 and 11th of April 1945. These dates do in fact correspond with the end of the Battle of Konigsberg, which ended on the 9th of April 1945 with the surrender of the German garrison. However, just to mix things up a little, a few years later, the same Alexander Brusov changed his mind and publicly voiced a contrary position. This change of mind was believed to have been due to the pressures of the Soviet authorities, who did not want to be seen as responsible for the loss of the very expensive Amber Room. Amongst all the paperwork from the archives was the revelation that the three remaining Italian stone mosaics were found in the burned debris of Konigsberg Castle. British investigative journalists Catherine Scott Clark and Adrian Levy concluded in their report that the reason the Soviets conducted extensive searches for the Amber Room, even though their own experts had concluded that it was destroyed, was because they wanted to know if any of their own Soviet soldiers had been responsible for its destruction. Catherine Scott Clark and Adrian Levy also assessed that others in the Soviet government at the time found that the theft of the Amber Room was a useful Cold War propaganda tool. Russian government officials have since, of course, denied these conclusions. A quick interesting side note here. The Cold War was a period of geopolitical tension between the United States and the Soviet Union and their respective allies in the Western Bloc and Eastern Bloc that started in 1947 and lasted up until 1991. The term Cold War itself was used because there was no large-scale fighting directly between the two superpowers. However, each side supported opposing sides in major regional conflicts, or otherwise known as proxy wars. However, A senior researcher at the Pavlovsk Palace within St. Petersburg named Adelaide Yalkina reportedly stated that, and I quote,
"It is impossible to see the Red Army being so careless that they let the Amber Room be destroyed."
After this report was made public, the lieutenant of the Red Army in charge of a rifle platoon during the Battle of Konigsberg, a Leonid Arenstein, said, and I quote, I probably was one of the last people who saw the Amber Room." And at the same time, he also explained that the whole city of Konigsberg was burning due to the continuing artillery bombardments. And he also denied allegations that the Red Army burned the city on purpose, saying, and I quote, "What soldiers would burn the city where they will have to stay?" A variation of this Red Army bombardment theory by some of the present-day residents of Kaliningrad, which was formerly known as Konigsberg, is that at least parts of the Amber Room were found in the Konigsberg Castle cellars after World War II by the aforementioned Red Army. And also, according to the local residents, the Amber Room was still in good condition. So, to preserve this story, access to the ruins of Konigsberg Castle, which was allowed after World War II, was suddenly restricted. This restriction also included all historical and archaeological surveys. So, the search for the Amber Room continued in different locations, with one of the places being Wuppertal in Germany, and the other being in a storehouse near Conisbert Castle itself. After this second short break, in part three, we will look at the continuing mystery behind the elusive vanishing room and the Soviet government's decision to construct a replica. Replica.
Fright Nights was established in 1999 as the first company in the world to offer overnight ghost hunt experiences to the general public, pioneering paranormal events since the last century. Fright Nights operate at hundreds of the UK's most haunted and exclusive venues. All events have their own team of experienced paranormal investigators, mediums and psychics. They have a VIP members club for regular returning guests, offering loyalty discounts and exclusive invitation-only events. They can also host private events for your family and friends. You can contact them on 07852 998 628 or email them at office@frightnights.co.uk or take a look at their website at www.frightnights.co.uk, where you can see the many locations they investigate and learn about them and the opportunities they have available. Hundreds of ghost hunters join Fright Nights every month for the most thrilling ghost hunting experiences they'll never forget. If you haven't been on a ghost hunt before, then why not join them to see what it's all about? Why not visit their social media sites for up-to-date information on all the places they visit and to see what's coming up in the future? They look forward to seeing you all soon. Fright Nights ghost hunting events. Remember, only the original will do.
Other hypotheses for the missing amber room include a bunker in Mamurki, located in northeastern Poland, and that Joseph Stalin, who was the leader of the Soviet Union, ordered the amber room replaced with a replica prior to its looting, so as to hide the original. Are you keeping up? Good. The main problem with finding the amber room was that the Nazi regime at the time had a habit of hiding many items in many difficult-to-reach places. And just to add to the frustration, they usually hid items without any documentation, so consequently creating a wider search area. And in some cases, the Germans moved items to destinations that were actually far away from Europe. In some cases, the search for the Amber Room has also been halted by authorities. For example, in the case of Fridland Castle, it was halted because of its historic value. You see, in 2016, German treasure hunters George Madeira and Eric Stenz claimed that trucks delivered items from the Amber Room of St. Petersburg, Russia, to Fridland Castle in the later period of the Second World War. They also stated that the items previously owned by Peter the Great were stolen by the Nazis and stored in the Fridland Castle cellars with contemporaneously constructed brick walls. However, the men further state that they have been unable to search for the stolen items due to the Czech government and the Czech National Heritage Institution. There are, of course, other rumours, conspiracies and lost tales as to what may or may not have happened to this elusive amber chamber. They include, it being a move from Kaliningrad to Germany, hidden in a silver mine on the Czech border, coveted a murky lagoon near the Lithuanian town of Neringa, or lost in a Bavarian woodland. Actually, the Bavarian woodland theory has a strange tale attached to it. A strawberry farmer called George Stein, who was also an avid treasure hunter, was dead set on finding the missing amber room. However, according to some sources, he got a little too close for comfort. George Stein claimed, whilst out treasure hunting one day, to have discovered a secret radio frequency that contained details about the transfer of the amber room. George Stein then arranged to meet a search competitor in Bavaria. However, I can't seem to find the name of this competitor. The meeting, however, was not to be, because in 1987, George Stein was found dead in the aforementioned woodland. He was found with his body stripped and his stomach slashed open with a scalpel. And believe it or not, his death was ruled a suicide. Other theorised amber room locations include beneath Wuppertal in western Germany, being aboard a ghost train in Warbrick in southwest Poland. Actually, it has long been rumoured that a Nazi ghost train was loaded with treasure and lost in secret tunnels under the mountain in Warbrick in southwest Poland. What the name of the train is, its mission, or where its precious cargo came from, no one knows. But in 2015, two men, one from Germany and one from Poland, claimed to have found this train along with its riches. However, the local government of Warbrick refused to comment on the matter, except to warn people that if there is a train, it may be booby-trapped by mines. In 1979, the Soviet government decided to construct a replica of the original Amber Room. This replica was to be built, again, at Sarskoye, near St. Petersburg. I apologise to anybody who lives there. The process was to take nearly 24 years and required up to 40 Russian and German experts in amber craftsmanship. Using the original drawings and old grainy black and white photographs, every attempt was made to duplicate the original 1701 amber room. For this, they needed the 350 different shades of amber in the original panels and fixtures that adorned the room. However, the major problem with this momentous project was the lack of skilled workers, since amber carving was by now nearly a lost art form. Any financial difficulties that were needed for the reconstruction project of the new amber room were solved with the donation of $3.5 million from the German company E.ON. On an interesting side note, E.ON is a German multinational electric utility company based in Essen, Germany. It operates as one of the world's largest investor-owned electric utility service providers. The name originates from the Latin word aeon, spelt A-E-O-N. It is derived from the Greek ion, spelt A-I-O-N, which means age or infinity, with the period being added to create a secondary meaning, E for energy and O-N for illumination. By 2003, the work of the Russian craftsman was pretty much completed. The new amber room was dedicated by Russian President Vladimir Putin and German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder at the 300th anniversary of the city of St. Petersburg. In the municipality of Kleinmanschnau, near Berlin, there is a miniature amber room that was fabricated after the original. This miniature copy was made from East Prussian amber. In the October of 2020, Polish divers from the Baltitech Association found the wreck of the German cargo ship from 1905 called the SS Karlsruhe. It has been said that this shipwreck holds many crates with unknown contents. And an online news website called Live Science reports that this German steamship may hold crates that contain parts of this elusive amber room.
Thank you all for taking the time out to listen to this episode of Mark's Unexplained World. In our next episode, show number 91, we are going to be looking at the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch, also commonly referred to as Bigfoot, is a large, hairy, human-like, mythical creature purported to inhabit the forests in Northern America, particularly in the Pacific Northwest. Many of the indigenous cultures across the North American continent include tales of mysterious hair-covered creatures living in forests. Enthusiasts of Sasquatch, such as those within the pseudoscience of cryptozoology, have offered various forms of evidence to prove Bigfoot's existence. However, the scientific consensus is that Bigfoot and all the current evidence for it is a combination of folklore, misidentification, and hoaxes, rather than a living animal.
This show was written and researched by myself, Mark Hughes, and proofread and edited by Linda Hughes. The pronunciations, as usual, of all the names of places, though, was all mine. The actors in this episode were Mark Hughes, Linda Hughes, and Denise Pula. With special thanks to Neil Packer and the staff at the Haunted Antiques Paranormal Research Centre in Hinckley. And a big thanks to you, everyone, for listening. Mark's Unexplained World, because there's more to the paranormal than meets the third eye. And remember, guys, keep it real, because being real is better than being perfect. This show and all its contents are covered by the basic copyright of Mark the Medium.